Good morning. My name's Toby, and I am a recovered alcoholic. I've recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. I was told to announce it that way, and I've done it ever since. And let people know that there is a way that you can recover from this disease and that you can actually get back in the stream of life. Of course, we're not talking about cured. We're talking about recovery. They asked me, I was asked to try and tell you a little bit about this group and how it started and came about. And I think probably the best way to start is where I started. And I'll start at the end of my debauchery, where I had spent, my wife knew everything that was going on. I was a very strong alcoholic crackhead, you could say. I was going down the tubes fast, and my wife made a doctor's appointment for me, and my doctor started telling me about these little things and places I could go to probably get some help. And it wasn't the AA fellowship, but it was another one that was very oriented with not only the big book, but with the Bible. And I went there, and I listened to a man talk, and I was desperate. I wanted something. And I heard my story being told in the room, and I went up to this gentleman and asked him, what do I need to do? And he started talking to me, and he said, well, the first thing you need to do is you need to call me every day, and we'll talk about it. And he gave me his number, and I called him every day, and I think he probably answered the phone every third day. And, I went back and had another meeting, and he wasn't there that night, and I looked around and said, what did these things do? I hear this is a 12-step type of program. So yeah, it's 12 steps. And I said, where are they? They weren't hanging on the wall. They weren't anywhere. And they said, well, they started talking about the steps. It's very similar to the ones that we had up here. And I said, so how do we do it? And he says, well, the first month you go through the first one. And then the second month you go through the second one. And you're all done in a year. And I started getting disillusioned. And I went into a break-off group, that's how they had it, and went into this meeting, and all of a sudden this guy started telling, he was me. I could relate to him more than anything else. And I latched on to him, and I said, he said, this is the first time I've been here, I'm not so sure I like this. And I said, well, what do you do? And he invited me to a small meeting. And by the end of the week, I didn't make that meeting. I was out like normal. Alcoholic. I was arrested. I was spent 2 days in jail, ended up in a commitment center. And the first time I actually felt extremely alone, calling my brother on the phone. He says, I said, I need some help. And he says, you're right where you need to be. Funny thing is, the first time I went in an AA meeting, they said the same thing. I wasn't sure if it was the same place I needed to be. So I knew at that point I needed to do something different, and I called him up and told him what was happening. He invited me to this small little group, and it was down in South Tampa, and there was about four or five people sitting in there, and he had these books sitting in front of him, and he said, yeah, he described himself as a big book thumper, and I was like, oh my God, what's that? And he picked up the book, and he said, you know, there are a lot of different types of big book thumpers. They're the type that take the book and beat you over the head with it. And I said, well, I don't know if I like that. I can beat myself up pretty well. And he said, pretty well. And he said, no, I'm one of these. I say the answer's in here. And he thumped his book. And I said, what do you need to do? And the first thing he did is he asked me a couple of questions. He says, you want to get well? And I said, no. Yeah. And he says, you ready to do it for the rest of your life? And I said, well, that's not what I'm hearing in those other meetings. They're saying do it one day at a time. He says, no. Do you want to get well for the rest of your life? And I said, absolutely. He says, you can recover. And I said, but everybody's saying recovering in the room. See, he says, no. If I was recovering, I would have had to do that for the rest of my life. I probably wouldn't be here. And he talked my language, and he grabbed him. We made an appointment for the next day. And another friend of mine actually came over to my house that I met in that meeting, and he was there with me every day and grabbed onto me and made sure I was making it to meetings. And we went to his house, and in five sessions of 3 hours, we met four to five times. I got through step 11 probably in about 2 weeks. By the time I was step 11, he said, we're going to go through working with others in our next meeting. We'll take care of it. At that point, I thought I was all done, and I thought I needed to go out and make amends to people I didn't need to do, or that I didn't need to, that, without consulting anyone. And I was out. Ended up in jail again, treatment. I called him up, and he says, well, I said, I failed you. He says, no, you didn't fail me. He says, what are you talking about? I said, well, you didn't finish the steps. You're still suffering from untreated alcoholism. You got to finish the steps because the solution's in the 12th step. And I understood. And we went back through what we had done, and in a very quick fashion, we went through working with others, and he had me out hearing fifth steps and talking to other alcoholics, searching for sponsees immediately. I was still in treatment when I was doing that. He saved my life. And I only knew one way to go through these steps, and it was he sat down with me. He read the book to me, page by page, the first 103 pages. And I heard other people talking about assignments and all these different things and ways they did it, and the 12 and 12. I remember looking at him and said, what's a 12 and 12? He says, you don't need to know right now. And he had me doing nothing but that book, that blue book, until I was assured and had a sponsee. He says, now you can read some other things if you want, but the way to go through the steps is from this book. And I've started going to outside meetings and going, and it was, as I hear one guy call them, open, disgusting meetings. I think he's heard that before. I couldn't find anything, man. I heard a person with 5 years of sobriety sitting there talking about how the curtains on her house didn't match the furniture and everything else, and that she was having a problem staying sober. And I was like, what's the matter with these people? I had a spiritual awakening. I woke up and said, I understand what serenity means now. It means balance, matching calamity with serenity. And I was on fire. I couldn't help but carry this message. I was installed in me that I had a duty to carry it to someone else. And everywhere I was going, I wasn't hearing that message. People were walking around talking, trying to quote the big book, and I had never heard that stuff before. All I heard were the things on the wall. You know, I remember sitting in a meeting. Those things are great. The guy was sitting there saying, you know, these things, say these little sayings we have in AA saved my life. So he started to tell a story about how he was going through a McDonald's drive-thru, and the girl at the window was just screwing up his order. He wanted coffee with cream but no sugar, and she gave him sugar with no creams, and his Big Mac came out being a quarter pounder with cheese, and he was sitting there and just getting frustrated, and everything was going wrong. He said, I thought of that one on the wall, and it helped my day. And he said, which one was it? He said, it was one, let him live. He even got the one on the wall wrong. You know, that's a true story. I'm not making this stuff. You can't make this stuff up. So one day, you know, there's a guy I went to treatment with. He was already out, and he used to come in on the Sunday spirituality meetings in the morning, and the beautiful spiritual leader they have there, she just would always ask him to stand up and recite the ninth step promises. And he would get up and say these promises, and he knew them. Later found out he hadn't gotten to that point yet, but he knew them. And we became friends, and he said, you know what, I got this nice little Thursday night meeting down in South Tampa we go to, a friend of mine runs, and come on, you should check it out. We went down there, and I listened to him. All of a sudden, he had this book out. The guy had never met him before. He's had his book out. He's chairing the meeting. There's like these little treatment centers in there, and he's talking out of the book. And I said, my God, I found it. This is what I was raised in at this place. And he was quoting it. He didn't rely on his memory, even though I knew he did it. He would open the book and show you. And then the guy I went with, a guy named Scott, he would talk out of the book. And I said, wow, these guys are my breed. And all I could think about was, you know, we meet frequently to give the newcomer the fellowship they seek. And this is what I was seeking. But I started going to that Thursday night meeting, and we became fast friends. And these treatment center guys from all over the place were getting a message that I knew they weren't getting anywhere else. In the meantime, my sponsor had started a little group down in South Tampa where I was going, and I'd go to his meeting, and he called it the 164 Club. And there was only like 5-6 people in there, and we'd go in there. I'd go down every Saturday night, and we'd talk out of the book. And I said, now I found two meetings that I like. Well, my sponsor had to go to a different place, and I took over that meeting, and my wife and I tried to take care of it, and we actually started a fellowship, a family meeting, and where we'd invite not only the alcoholic, but their spouses, their children, whoever else would be there, just to hear that there is an answer and a solution. And I felt that was part of carrying the message, because it's not just the alcoholic, it's a family disease. And that was going well for a while, and we moved to North Tampa, and the three guys, me, Scott, and Eric, were trying to carry this message in South Tampa, and all of a sudden we couldn't do it there anymore, and said, we need to start our own. And it reminded me of another message on that wall, and it was the one that we've heard it here a couple of times, meeting makers make it. And you know this program is designed to give us a psychic change. And it took me forever to try and figure out what that meant and all it really means, because I like to overcomplicate things. You can imagine that, an alcoholic trying to make things complicated. And I said, oh my God, I got to put electrodes on my head and put me in some sort of strange, stress test in order to change my mind. I said, that's really what it is. It's just a change in mind, a change in perspective. And that's what happened. I said, you know, it's not meeting makers make it. It's not that you go to the meetings. Go out and make your meeting. Make a meeting. Carry the message. And Eric and I were sitting in our car. I said, we need to start a meeting up here in North Tampa because we can't do it in South Tampa anymore. And we called Scott and we said, where are we going to do this? And we said, we're going to go to Eric's trailer. We've got some sponsees who need to hear the message. And we started there with coffee, a trailer, three guys, and maybe 5 sponsees. And we had this little meeting. You know what they say, all you need is 2 alcoholics and a pot of coffee and a resentment, and you got it. And then we did it. Change in perspective. And we needed to carry this message in order to stay sober. Helps us more than our sponsees, you know what they say? And it grew. All of a sudden people were hearing that there was something going on. And within 6 weeks to 6 months, I don't remember the timeline, it went so quickly. We had grown from those 7 people, 8 people, to about 20. And we had to go someplace else, and we came to this church here across the way. And it grew immediately to 40. And we couldn't go any further than that, and there we had to move someplace else. You know, what's that? If you build it, they will come. That's the story for me. It's not about me building a meeting. It's not about us building a meeting. It's about us carrying a message that saved our lives. And that's what 164 means to us. And I thank you all for being here.